Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
It's so great to be here, and it's great to be able to share a word, just sort of like ongoing with what Steve has been sharing with us. We're going to continue in the theme of courage, because we all know it. We all need courage in order to do life. I mean, we need courage to wake up and to go to work some mornings. You need courage to go for an interview. You need courage to drive on the South African roads with the potholes and the taxi drivers. You need courage to live in South Africa, because we all know we've got lions and leopards and cheetahs and rhinos and elephants just floating around the place. Well, that's what the foreigners believe anyway. So we need courage to live in South Africa. We really, really do. But I think regardless of where you live and where you're placed in the world, courage is something that should become a pivotal part of who you are. I just want to say, the more you encounter courage through the Holy Spirit, the more courageous you become. I have seen people go from timid people to people as bold as a lion. And that's from an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It feels like I'm on stage with that light over there. But anyway, I am on stage. One of the things in the Hebrew language. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I coming apart? Okay. All right. Okay. In the Hebrew, if you were a Jew, and you met somebody on the road, one of the Hebrew ways of saying "how's it," like we would in South Africa, is they would say "yasho koach." Ha! Who knows Hebrew? Who can speak Hebrew? Okay, so it doesn't matter how I pronounce it, "yasho koach," and it basically means "may your strength be firm." So in the Jewish culture, when they see each other, it's like "may your strength be firm." And I mean, that's like an amazing greeting. They know that they need courage, and I'm sure, like the Jews and what they've faced and what they've been through, they know what it is to have to take a hold of courage. The early disciples, they had to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit in order to have courage to do what God wanted them to do. So what I want to share with you this morning is that the Holy Spirit is your source of courage. It's not your knowledge. It's not your personality. It's the Holy Spirit in you that is your source of courage. And he will alter you, and he will take you from one courage level to the next. Now, I am aware that we have started pretty late this morning. Who's got something on after church? He checked already. Okay, would somebody just lock the door so Anne can't go home? Okay, because she put her hand up. I just want to say for myself, I'm gonna tell some stories. I like telling stories. My sister was the first one in our home to get born again. We were all born again anyway because we were Catholics. So Catholics are born again automatically. And yeah, so my sister was the first one to get born again out of the Catholic Church. I remember going with her to a little Assemblies of God church. I had been invited to her baptism. There'll be a baptism this morning. And I went with my dad, who is an atheist, and we sat next to each other. And this guy behind me was screaming at the top of his lungs while he was singing. And I kept on giving him dirty looks, hoping that he would now turn it down, because it's rude to sing so loudly into somebody else's ear. But nevertheless, I remember thinking, shame, all these people are going to hell because they're not Catholics. But there was another thing that was happening inside of me. There was almost like a fear in me, because I could feel the spiritual realm in that building. And me, I did not like the spirit realm. I had grown up in a home where there was a lot of spiritual activity, and I was the ninny of the family, and I would just hide and put the blanket over my head. And then my sisters would tell me all about the things. I was the one that ran out of the house when they tried to do a Ouija board and call up spirits, and I was the ninny of the family. At any rate, when my sister got born again, it looks like I'm going to be telling a story all morning, and I'll preach next week. When I got born again, when my sister got born again, she came to visit me. And she started telling me, because she had been so involved in the spirit realm, that she was now really battling with demonic attacks, like counter attacks on her life. I mean, the demons would come and say, they were demons or they were spirits that she had walked with her whole life. You've let us down. You've left us. How could you do that? And then when she didn't turn back to them, they began to harass her. And she was just telling me all these stories. And, of course, I'm a ninny. And the spirit realm, I wasn't interested in it. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And I remember saying to her very clearly, well, if I've got to have anything to do with demons, you can forget me becoming your kind of a Christian. Because I don't do with the spirit realm. We don't do well. Anyway, Janet gets born again, and I'm all happy, I'm a Christian, and I mean, I realized what it was to actually experience and to encounter Jesus versus knowing all about him, which I had my whole life. And I'm in my flat one evening, I was living with my boyfriend, I was smoking, I was drinking. But now, who knows, when you become born again, it doesn't mean that your life actually changes. There's something that has to happen to us in order for our lives to change, and that's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I hadn't even been to church yet, but I knew I'd now given my life to Jesus. I'll tell you about that just now in my story. And I think the demonic realm remembered my words. She'll have nothing to do with this Christianity stuff if she has to face us. So here I am, I'm cooking supper. My cat walks into the kitchen. I love my cat. I pick my cat up. Stephen's looking, am I moving away from theology? Okay. Sorry. I pick my cat up, his name was Monkey, and I say, you know, Monkey, you and I, we're all going to go be with Jesus. And my boyfriend, his name was Evan at the time, and then I married a Saint Evan. But at any rate, seriously, I mean, that's weird, but anyway. And as I did this, a demon came between the two of us, the cat and me. I was holding my cat. And it threw us apart that I landed on my bottom on the floor in this tiny little kitchen. And I remember I looked up, and this thing, it wasn't like a physical form, but it was a form. And it began to manifest, and it was huge. It was like probably about that wide into the roof. And I mean, I remember looking up, and my mind went, oh my God, what's going on? And a voice came out of me, and it said, it didn't even say in Jesus' name, it just said, I rebuke you. Now, bearing in mind, I had nothing to do with the spirit realm. I had never been taught how to deal with the demonic. And this demon screamed, like when those words came out. And then again, the words, I rebuke you, came out again. It was like weird. And the demon screamed, and it actually used the doorways. It went out through the kitchen door. And this voice, and I think maybe I was getting all excited, I rebuke you, I probably started saying it myself out of my own will. But this thing squished and squashed, and it went out the front door, and it went and it stood above the fire escapes where I lived in the block. And just you could just feel this evil hatred towards me from this demonic being. Anyway, so I go back in, I've been cooking, there's food on the stove. So I think, okay, I'm just going to be normal. Sorry, is my dress too short? Sorry. So I think, I'm just going to be normal and pretend that this did not happen. Because it actually did not happen. There was not just a demon in my flat. But my hands were like this. I was shaking all over. So I put the warming drawer and I shoved what I'd been cooking in to the warming drawer, and I thought, I've got to get out of this flat because there's no demons in this flat. Long and the short of it, I don't want to continue, is I had people come and pray, the demon came back, people came and prayed, the demon left, the demon came back, and eventually the demon left. But what I wanted to say is after that, I heard about being filled with the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And many people prayed for me, but nothing really changed other than them teaching me to speak in tongues. It was not a spontaneous utterance of the Holy Spirit. But what I realized is at that moment when the demon tried to harass me, the Holy Spirit inside of me filled me and took authority over the demonic, because that was the moment that my Christian life went from being normal to supernatural. Okay, so I just want to say how it changed me, and demons don't worry me now. And so I went from a total little ninny to this person who, they don't worry me. And also, you know, what happens is the starting point of courage in you is knowing who you are in Christ. If you do not know that, that is not a settled thing in your life, that you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God with authority over all principalities and powers in this world and in the air and in the kingdoms to come. That is who you are. And if you're vacillating in any area of that, courage is going to come and go like your mother-in-law, okay? But through each encounter that you have with God by the Holy Spirit, the more your courage level will begin to rise. We see with David, I'm going to read that scripture. Let's read it quickly. Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. Just keep that scripture in mind, because we're wanting our hearts to take courage. Okay. Now with David, he had many encounters with God, but I suppose one of the most important one was when he was anointed by Samuel to become the king of Israel. We all know that he defeated the lion, the bear, and Goliath. And if you don't know those stories, I suggest you go read about it in your Bible. But I think all the trials and tribulations and tests that David went through in his lifetime, he had to remember that he had been anointed to be king of Israel. If you were promised a house by your mother and your father, that it's yours, it doesn't matter what you go through, you're going to remember that house belongs to you and you're going to fight for it. We need to remember that we have been anointed by the Lord himself, not Samuel, not a prophet, not a representative, to rule and reign on earth today. So if you are experiencing anything less than that ability to rule and reign and your courage has been destroyed in you because of circumstances, you need to remember. Stephen, who you are, remember what you're called to do. I mean, Stephen spoke so beautifully on the disciples with the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And when they were in the storm, because they didn't remember the miracle that they had just seen, they lost courage. And that, I will go back to that scripture. And the scripture actually says that the earth is crying out for us to rise up. That scripture in Psalm, I think it's 27:14, but I kept getting confused if it was 17 as well. Basically, let me see if it's that side. It's meant to be that side. Aha. Wait. Sorry, did you change it there? Is this thing? Okay. Wait. That word wait for courage is the word tarry. We all know what the word tarry is. I mean, it's a silly word. We don't use it nowadays. But, I mean, we know that tarry means to wait. But listen to this. That word wait also means expect and remember. So when you're waiting on God, you need to expect more miracles and remember the miracles you've experienced. And you need, you know, if you have never experienced the presence of God, what I can ask you to do is to begin to thank him for his presence. And thank him until his presence comes. When I find that the presence of God leaves me, which it never does, it's more my awareness of the presence of God that has left me, I start saying, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. thank you. Thank you that you're in me. Thank you that you're on me. Until that feeling comes again, and that feeling builds courage. So basically, you need to wait and thank him for his presence until you experience him. Then you take courage. You know that the word that courage is the chazak courage. There's four different words, and I'm hoping we're going to get into it today. But that word is chazak, and that's the one that's used 300 times in the Bible. And that means to fasten yourself to God. There are other ways. I'm going to give you the whole thing. And then you'll be able to take courage, mental, physical, in your heart, your will, your mind, and your emotions. So basically, wait, you're remembering, you're fastening yourself to God by remembering what he has done for you and what you expect him to do for you. And then basically, your heart will become strong. Isn't that beautiful? That you can move from being afraid of things to fearless. And we've all got areas in our lives where we need courage. So this morning, my word is I'm going to speak to you about four men in the Bible. And I'm going to try and speak fast forward times 50 so that we can get through it. And then four different words that describe courage, biblical courage. And the first person that I'm going to chat to you about was Moses. And we all know he had encounters with God, and those encounters with God imparted courage. Because if you know the personality of Moses, he was a ninny as well. He always argued with God and didn't want to do things God told him to do because not me, you know. So Moses was a person that needed courage, and you'll see he had an experience with God at the burning bush. There were miracles in Egypt with the staff turning to a snake, water turning to blood, the plagues, the Jewish children just being passed over when the angel of death came along. You've got the parting of the Red Sea. And every time Moses experiences these experiences, he experienced a surge of courage. But who knows that yet with all these experiences, when he was asked to do something, he failed to do it, which was to take the Jewish people into the promised land. And I'm just thinking, was it his self-talk? How did he speak about himself? Was it the other people that influenced him that had a negative disposition around him? Because you see, he had a lot of opposition. So he failed with all those God encounters. He still failed to take them into the promises. And that's why when you wait on God, you need to expect. And you need to move forward into that you're expecting. And so the courage that I actually associated with Moses is that tikvah courage. And who was here when I spoke on hope? One person, two, three, four? Okay. Now, hope and courage, that word tikvah is the same word. I mean, how's that? So I could actually be speaking to you on hope again this morning. But that tikvah word is that one, hang on your ropes until you don't let go. So that was a Moses. I would say he just used to try and hang in there. You know, it wasn't like a natural kind of a courage that he had. Okay, so the next character that I'm going to speak on is a guy called Nahshon. Who's heard of Nahshon in the Bible? Oh, Olivia. Olivia is such a clever lady. I'm sure Olivia's read through her Bible 50 times. She always puts her hand up when you ask questions. Now, Nahshon was the commander and prince of the tribe of Judah. And his story is not mentioned in the Bible, just his name. His name is associated with the lineage of Jesus, an ancestor of David and in the line of Jesus Christ. But yet all he does in our Bible is get a little mention of as far as the lineage is concerned. Now he was alongside, so you can read his story in the Hebrew Bible, he was alongside Moses as they came to the Red Sea. When they got to the Red Sea, who knows, everybody began to grumble. Have you brought us out here to die? What have you done? It is better that we would have stayed slaves. Moses had an ability to take people out of sin and that, but he didn't have the ability to take them into the blessing of God. But at any rate, here we get Nahshon. He was a 20-year-old, obviously a man. Whether he was on a horse or on foot, I've heard and read various stories. The tribe of Israel are beginning to be fearful because da-da-da-da-da, here comes Pharaoh's army in the background. They can see the smoke, the dust. Oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. The Hebrew Bible says that Nashon plunged into the Red Sea. The Red Sea hadn't opened. And it was only when he got up to the sea, up to his neck, that the sea opened. That was a display of courage when you hadn't yet seen what God had promised. It's almost like, I know, I'm expecting this is going to happen. I'm going to go in. As I say, there's a story that he was on horse or whatever. He was the first one to rush into the Red Sea, and he made a way for the others to follow. I mean, so his courage is another word that's in the Bible, and his courage is that word chutzpah. Come on, we must have heard of that in movies. Chutzpah, chutzpah. Come on, like if you watch movies where they've got the Jewish people, you always say chutzpah. It's like quite a popular word. And it's a verb, it's a doing word. So he was doing something. So you've got Nashon who was doing something. And that word means to be strong, bold, alert, courageous, determined, obstinate. We would try and delete those words from our Christian vocabulary. Obstinate, firm, mighty, take courage, gore, brazen, nerve, effrontery, incredible guts, presumptuous plus arrogance. I mean, that's a definition. I presume God is going to come through for me. I'm going to do this. For us older Christians, we'll say, don't be so arrogant. Wait on God. I mean, we would do that because chutzpah is not part of our personalities. We've learned by our mistakes. Blue's got a little story. She's not here this morning. Who know? We all know Blue and Sophie, so she... Hey, Blue Blue, there you go, darling. If I get it wrong, forgive me. She was walking over the bridge somewhere over here, and here she sees this Indian chap being hauled out of his car by three guys. They're trying to get the key out of his hand, and he's fighting back. They're trying to start stabbing him, okay? And there's people all around, because, like Stephen's story. And Blue thinks, this is absolute nonsense. And she starts marching towards him. What do you think you're doing? And guess what? They all three ran away. Cass Blue, a woman on her own, little skinny Malinx, three men, I don't know who had knives, and they ran away. That, to me, is chutzpah. That's gall. It's effrontery. It's like, I'm going to do this. She couldn't care that they could see a woman. She saw a mighty lion in herself at that moment. It's like these little dogs. But they see themselves as lions. So, I have absolutely no idea what the time is because normally I can see it at the back of the wall. So, we're going to move on to the next person who is one of our favorite characters in the Bible, and that's Jesus. Yay! We have to mention Jesus. He also had God encounters with the Holy Spirit, just like you and I need it. He had it when he got baptized. He had it in the desert. He had it in the Garden of Gethsemane when angels came and ministered to him. But he had encounters with the spirit realm while he lived on earth. And his courage is a courage called chizak. This is the one that is very, very popular in the Word of God, the one that's mentioned more repeatedly than any other. And this word describes the believer's confident courage that is perfected by waiting on God. How's that? It's being confident in the mighty power of God. This courage comes through our quiet times, reading the word, and meditating on how great our God is. This is the one that I mentioned earlier, where you fasten yourself to God, you latch onto God. You become obstinate in that. Nothing's going to separate us. You bind yourself to him. You conquer, be constant. You're not like a wishy-washy up and down in your faith person. And you're able to encourage yourself in God. Why? Because you've attached yourself to him. And you begin to behave valiantly, withstand, cure, and repair. Isn't that amazing? Cure and repair is attached to courage. When I attach myself to God, my body will begin to cure and repair itself. And then lastly, be a man. You might say, why would Jesus need this courage? He was born as God. He came as a man. He had to learn how to draw on that source of courage, just like you and I. He had to go up into the mountains, latch himself onto his father. He had to trust in God when he went to the cross. He drew on this Chizak courage. But bearing in mind, and keeping it in mind, this courage is still an external courage that you get from spending time with God, meditating on God, seeing how great he is, or imagining how great he is and what he has done. And this courage is almost a before the cross courage, this Chizak, because there was a new kind of courage that was going to come to planet Earth. And I was pretty excited about this courage when I discovered it, when I was trying to do my study. And that courage we'll see clearly demonstrated in the life of Paul. Who knows, he had a Damascus Road experience. That experience is his born-again experience. And I want to say today, if you have not had a born experience, that you can actually say it was at that moment, this time, when I got saved, I want to ask you to go back and spend time with God and say, God, I need to experience you. Because you have that experience is so pivotal in courage. When I got born again, it was an experience. As I said, I was already born again because I was a Catholic. So some of you think you're born again because of what you've been told. And I was sitting in my office on my own. Everybody else had gone home. And a voice spoke to me. This ninny who is afraid of the spirit realm. And this voice said, Janet, give your heart to Jesus. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm on my own. I got up and I went into the other offices and I looked around. Somebody must be there. Okay, maybe it's my imagination. I went and I sat back down at my desk, continued my work. I had a pile of admin to catch up on. And this voice came again. Janet, give your heart to Jesus. And I'm thinking like, but I have. And what's going on here? No, surely there's somebody here harassing me, like teasing me. So, and then I started to get nervous. There's something happening in here. And you start sensing that presence that I felt in the little assemblies of God that I didn't like. There's a ghost. And when you haven't, you're not used to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He's actually pretty scary. He is. If you haven't experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's not a comfortable feeling. So I got my packet of cigarettes and my lighter, and I went down and I went into the bathroom and I had a cigarette. I was taking courage. Now, everybody takes courage, and the more they puff on it, the more courage they have. Yeah, well, anyway. So, hey? So I was taking courage. I went back to my office, gone. Whatever it was, it's gone. I could feel it was gone. Sat down, carried on with my work. And this voice came for a third time after a while. Janet, give your heart to Jesus. So I sat there at my desk and I said, Jesus, if you want my heart, you can have it. And it was literally like he had been standing on my desk. And I felt like something step inside of me. So I started bawling. You know? And I phoned my mom. Mommy, I think I've become a Christian. And that's how I got born again. But it's an experience I'll never forget. And as I say, I grew in what happened in my revelation of Christ and what had happened to me that day. So, I mean, I know we all have to have a born experience. And Paul had his Damascus Road experience. He experienced God when he was in jail. Do you know that when you are caught in that demonic realm of alcoholism, addictions, drugs, pornography, you can still experience God. When you are in jail and you are captive to something, you can experience him and he can set you free. He experienced God in the nighttime, your darkest hour. God came to visit him and just encouraged him and said, Paul, don't be afraid. If you are attaching yourself to God, God will come and he will actually begin to pour courage into you. And the word that I associated with Paul for courage in the New Testament is a Greek word, paraklesis. Hello, we all know. What does it sound like? What does Paracletus sound like? Huh? Holy Spirit. I was so excited when I saw this. Because this is a New Testament Greek word for courage, and it means to be extremely close to the source of courage. Extremely close. How close can you get other than that source of courage coming inside of you? And that's what happened to me, is I became extremely close to that source of courage and I could shout at that demon. But the word para means to be alongside that source of encouragement. Extremely close. It actually even means to drink of it. Be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Drink. Become extremely close to the Holy Spirit. It's that Emmanuel, God inside of us. Something that, you know, like in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit, hello, hello, goodbye, goodbye. It's now God with us, God inside of us, God dwelling alongside of us, in us, around us, upon us. It's not just an appearing to certain people, because in the new covenant, we are extremely close. That klesis means he's calling you, he's summoning, he's saying, come near to me. So in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is saying, come, 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 come near to me. I want to give you courage, not your own macho bravado. Come and get courage from me. So it's the same word, it's a similar word to paraclete, which is the word that you see for Holy Spirit. Okay, anyway, I'll carry on over here. And I just wanted to say, like, so the Holy Spirit, paraclesis, which is your source of courage, and paraclete, are almost like the same root. It comes from the same root. And I just love the way the courage has gone from tikva, oh, just hang in there, man, to be bold and be courageous, to attach yourself to God and get courage from him, to courage coming and living inside of you. I mean, I think that's huge. And so we've got this Paul, he experienced the paraclesis kind of courage. But even then, God would remind him, don't be silent, because fear, which is the opposite of courage, will shut you up when you actually want to talk. It'll say, no, don't say something to that person, they're going to clap you. No, 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 don't pray for that person, they're going to think you silly. That's what it does. But when you've got that paraclete courage, it just oozes out of you, that courage. Barnabas, I mean, he's interesting because he's known as the son of courage. And we all go, oh, Barnabas of encouragement. We all know, oh, we want to be a Barnabas. Are you a Barnabas? Do you encourage others? But you know, interestingly, his name in Aramaic means son of Abba. When you know that you are a son of God, not only do you have courage, you are able to encourage. And I mean, that is to me huge. It's because that source of courage is realized inside of you. Psalm 27 again, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Remember what Jesus has done for us. That's what you're doing. You're not waiting. Like, I remember somebody coming into my office one day and saying, you need to wait on the Lord. So I went and I sat in the cupboard. Honestly, 2-3 hours, nothing happened. And I was so disappointed because I was waiting on God. Anyway, so waiting is actually meditating, mulling. It says, be strong, let your heart take courage. That's the chazak courage, by attaching itself to God. Yes, wait for the Lord. So I want to just in closing say, what areas do you need courage in? Attach yourself to God in those areas. Because you need to be able to remember. You need to attach yourself. You need to have hope in God. You need to know your position in Christ, that you are destined, anointed by the King to rule and reign on earth. Remind yourself of those things and your courage will rise up. So I went from being afraid of the demonic realm to casting demons out of people. There was a big move in those days and just everybody was casting demons out of everybody. I don't know if you remember those days. So, I mean, and I was absolutely fine. But one thing I missed, can I say, I have no idea what the time is. One thing I must say is like, okay, I forgot. I was looking at the time. Oh, yes. Whenever I encountered demons, I would just remember how fearful that demon was of me trying to get out of my flat. And oh, these demons are so scared of Jesus. And when I had that doubt, who's Jesus? Is he really real? Come on, we've all had that. Is this God I serve really real? Then, and you know that that's coming from the demonic realm. You say, hey, if you're real, I know God is real. You know, but you can move from a place of just being in the natural to actually encountering the supernatural and not being afraid of it. Don't be afraid of witches. Don't be afraid of these people. Please, I beg of you. They have no authority, no power over your life. You don't have to be afraid that the person who lives next door to you is a Satanist or that you have bones under your house put there by some witch doctor. Seriously, don't live in that realm. It's like you have to live above it because Jesus conquered the devil. And when you experience that, it's fear has no place in you for you. Demons are afraid of you. Not your body, not your physical body. Your spirit, because it's in the image of God, created in the image of God. So I went from the more encounters you have with the Holy Spirit, the more bold you are going to become. And we need courage for this journey called life. But you need to be born again. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to be water baptized. Those are the only three things that God asks from you. The rest he will do for you. Even the born again, he does the born again and the Holy Spirit filling. But probably the only thing you have to make a choice about is being water baptized. And I mean, I'm scared to get water up my nose. So you just block your nose. Okay. So I just want to, and then there's an old Jewish prayer in closing, but I'm going to read a scripture to you as well. Right. First, let me read the scripture to you. It's Acts 19, I'm going to read from verse 1. Now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, it's not coming up on the board, okay? Paul made his way down through the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples. Okay, when it's not that it's 12 disciples, he came across a group of Christians. The first thing he said was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only? Or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside of you? Message Bible. We've never even heard of that. A Holy Spirit, God within us? Question mark. Paul says, how were you baptized then? And they said, in John's baptism, the water baptism. That explains it, said Paul. John preached a baptism of radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you are ready now for the real thing. How's that, eh? And they were. Because as soon as they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. There's a different baptism. Baptism water, baptized in the name of Jesus. Paul put his hands on their heads and the Holy Spirit entered them. It's not an external experience. It's a being filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, you will know I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not, maybe I have. Let me find my place. I just thought this was so beautiful. Okay, the Holy Spirit entered them. From that moment on, they were praising God in tongues, speaking in their crazy language, and talking about God's actions. I mean, if you have not been born again, if you have just got that mental ascent of God, like I had, I was a born-again Christian because I was a Catholic. I had a mental ascent. I had received Jesus into my mind. I loved Jesus. I really, really did. But I had never received him into my heart. And there's a big difference. And I want to pray for you this morning. Well, I don't know if I should let Stephen come and pray. Because I want to pray that you're not only going to have that mental revelation of Jesus, but that you are going to have a heart revelation of Jesus. And then if you want to get baptized, you're welcome to get baptized. You're going to freeze your little butt off, but you're welcome to do that. Can we all stand? And thank you for giving me the time. Okay. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm watching my son. If he closes his eyes, I know all your eyes are closed. Okay. Close your eyes. I want you to remember what Jesus has done. Remember that he died in your place. His body was bruised and broken for your healing. His blood was spilt across planet Earth so that all your sins can be forgiven. He then rose from the dead. He conquered death. And then by the Holy Spirit, he has come to live inside of you so that you can be courageous and as bold as a lion. Just remember that. Remember, just think about an incident where you've experienced the goodness of God just manifest in your life. Remember, just remember it. And now I'd like you to raise your hands and say after me, Holy Spirit, I don't just want to have a mental knowledge of Jesus. I want you to come and live inside of me, to take control of my very being, to release me from fears, to release me from anxiety, to release my human body from sickness and depression. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Father, I pray for these people right now in the name of Jesus, just as Paul prayed for those believers, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you'd fill every person. Can you hold the hand of the person next to you because there was a transference through the hands? And many of us are filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just full, just flow from one to the next, just one to the next person, just filling them that they would move into an amazing revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, just come and fill people from the top of their heads to the tip of their toes, or the tip of their toes to the top of their head, whichever way you would want to do it. Just fill them. Let that courage that comes from the Father, as they attach themselves to the Father right now in the name of Jesus, just come and fill them. I just want to remind you, we're not speaking to the Holy Spirit. He's not just a little spirit. You're speaking to the very presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God coming to live inside of you. He's not the third part or the smallest part of the Godhead. He's a major part of the Godhead. Jesus said, one greater than I. Jesus called the Holy Spirit greater than himself. Is going to come and live inside of you. He's going to lead. He's going to guide. He's going to comfort you. Receive the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that will give you courage to live life. It's the Holy Spirit that will keep your eyes on Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that will empower you to prosper. It's the promises of God by the Holy Spirit that will give you everything you need for life and godliness. Just release your presence, Lord. Just release it, Lord. Just release it over every person this morning. Tip of their toes to the top of their head. Depression, bipolar, spirits of suicide. Spirit of suicide, I address you this morning. You'll no longer harass those people in the name of Jesus. I command you to take your hands off of that person. You will not tempt them. You will not tempt them to take their life before the point of time that God has for them. Kisita bashira bakora basita bashenda rokola basito. Kishita korosta basinda bashiko. Courage, Lord, courage. Just impart it into every person's spirit being right now. just an infusion of the courage, the paraclete, the paraclesis courage that comes from the throne room of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.